In the name of God, who is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Men of Galilee, why do you stand looking up toward heaven? Spectators of the mighty acts of God, the great mysteries of the faith, like the ascension, spectators interpret them primarily as acts outside the realm of the rational or ordinary, acts placed in a history that is long ago and far away. Christian spectators understand our observance of such feast days as acts of nostalgia. A celebration is merely looking back to the event. The question of the angels implies that looking up toward heaven was looking in the wrong place. Just before his ascension, Jesus said to them, "And you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in all Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth." Witnesses to Jesus are not spectators. A witness is one who testifies to the living, present reality of the event. Witnesses transcend the traps of a nostalgia that keeps Jesus at a safe distance and welcome a Christ who crosses the boundaries of heaven and earth, recognizing the great mysteries, the living signposts of a cosmos where, through the Holy Spirit, heaven breaks into and intersects our world in all kinds of ways. A witness is one who is willing to open to perceiving that inbreaking of the divine. A witness is more interested in loving their neighbor than gazing into the clouds. The arc of conversion in Christian life is from spectator to witness, from observer to participant, from nostalgia to intersection. This is the journey of our waking up and being present. Spectator Christianity, like knotweed, pops up randomly and is hard to kill. Lest we rush to plant ourselves firmly in the category of the witnesses, the insidiousness of the spectator dynamic affects us all. Whenever we slide into defining ourselves by how much good we do, how much we know, how separate from the world we are, how much better than others we are, how our group is better than that group, we are symbolically looking up to heaven, seeking some special status or experience that we can possess and control. The appeal of spectator Christianity is the clarity and safety and security that it offers. It works well with a culture of rugged individualism, personal autonomy, and material-driven achievement. In spectator Christianity, God becomes an enlarged version of me, especially my American values. Spectatorism even grows and sustains Christian communities where people with similar desires can gather to seek to have those desires ratified by God. Thankfully, this distortion is cracking up as we collectively reckon with our history and patterns as a country on race and violence, our politics, and now the pandemic. The accommodation of spectator Christianity to ways of thinking and acting is coming to an end. Many wise voices are announcing that we have an opportunity in our time to embrace, at long last, a Christianity of witness. We are ready to move into the risk, the unknown of lives of witnesses, opening our hands and hearts to receive rather than to grasp. And so in this context, we come to the Feast of the Ascension of Christ with fresh expectancy. We need not invent the ways of becoming witnesses. They are staring us in the face. They have been here all along. Our path forward is none other than the ancient ways of prayer and presence and community rediscovered afresh in our day as if for the first time. Dominican priest and theologian Herbert McCabe provides a great definition of witness. He says, our Easter faith is that we really do encounter Jesus himself, not a message from him or a doctrine inspired by him or an ethics of love or a new idea of human destiny or a picture of him, but Jesus himself. It is in Jesus himself that we are found and called as witnesses. Messages, doctrines, ethics, ideas, pictures all point toward him. They do not contain, define, or, God forbid, replace him. Liturgy and sacrament are our contact points with the intersection of heaven and earth. In our celebration, the glory of the event of our past is drawn into our present, not as memorialized history, but as history operative right now. So the ascension of Christ is a witness-making event as Jesus' presence passes into the sacraments and into the church born at Pentecost. The presence of God in heaven that takes on the human flesh of Christ takes that very flesh back into heaven. Christ is universalized beyond the confines of past and future, matter and spirit. Heaven and earth are joined in the risen body of Jesus. Jesus himself is the place of intersection between heaven and earth. Jesus ascending body and soul to heaven means that a new order has once and for all entered into our world, and we are part of that new world. Spectators may believe in the event, affirm its truth, but not really see it, live in the world in which we are participants in the glory of Christ to be revealed in the world, in our very bodies, at the end of the age. The question is not so much how can I fit the ascension into the world I know to be real, but do I choose to live in a world where the miraculous is an ordinary intersection of the reality that a man of flesh reigns in heaven and the spirit of that same man is within and around us? When we gather around the altar, the presider will say, lift up your hearts in the Sursum Corda, and we will answer, we lift them to the Lord. And such simple, beautiful, powerful, ordinary words. The liturgy is teaching us how to be mystics who witness to the presence of Christ. This lifting language is decidedly not let's try extra hard to reach up to heaven and arrive where the Lord is. Rather, this is precisely the kind of spiritual language of witness that renounces the spirit of observation and invites our participation in the miracle being offered to us once again in the Holy Eucharist. This lifting means that we offer our deepest selves to God. We open the essence of how and who God made us to be and give it back to the loving presence of the mystery who made us and holds us in being. We become anew living testaments in our own flesh as we eat the flesh and drink the blood of Christ, who still bears in his flesh the scars of nail and spear, and yet who is the same Christ who sits in heaven, the Christ who rules on earth. The Jesuit theologian Karl Rahner was prophetic about our time when he said, "The Christian of the future will be a mystic, or he will not exist at all." Amen.